Let's open our Bibles tonight, brothers and sisters. And going back to 1 John, we're in chapter 4. We left off in the 7th verse, and I'm thankful to the Lord that this is a time and a study that is, again, so pertinent to these times that we live in right now. It's all about the coming of the Lord. And what John is impressed of the Holy Spirit is that the love of God would just increase and increase the more and increasing at the increasing rate. Brothers and sisters, it's essential. And in our text, it's very evident that this is the essential love and the growth of it and the maturing in our life that's going to win Christ. It's going to win God's best. And I was rejoicing with Mom here this week, just the reality that it's the Holy Spirit that takes the love of God and sheds it abroad in our heart. Makes it real. Just makes it full and overflowing. It's the peace that passes understanding. It's brothers and sisters that can live in a time like this, and we don't panic. And not only do we not panic, we're rejoicing. And I mean that. I don't care what you've saved up for. I'm thankful to God if He let you lay away some things and all that, but the most important thing is the storehouse of Christ, that we've been laying it up for eternity, brothers and sisters, and the payday is about here. And I'm so grateful to God for that, and I'm just so thankful that that the peace is sweeter, and it really is when the trial is greater, when the adversity is greater, when the destruction's greater, when there's so much despair. It's like finding that oasis in the desert. It's the sweetest time, and God has given us that. And I am thankful that the Lord is causing me to rejoice always and again rejoice that my time's at hand and the day of the Lord is going to begin before we know it. So let's just rejoice in that this evening. So let's go ahead and pick it up here in the 7th verse of the 4th chapter. And so wonderful is the word beloved. He started out the chapter in it. We're going to read it a couple more times, but that is much love. It's a desiring, a pouring out here. And again, this is the Holy Spirit doing this through a sweet brother, John, for these people. And this is obviously Christ's word speaking. And He's calling out to us tonight. You're so much loved, you can't even imagine. I want to marry you. I want you to be my wife. Beloved, listen to this. Let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. So wonderful what we know in Him. But it's love one another. And this calling is very simple, brothers and sisters. And this call to love has really only grown greater and greater in this study. And particularly here, the call is to the love of fellowship. Sure, it's the love of fellowship with God, and I hope that we would have that. But it's also the love of fellowship with the saints. The much, the more, as we see that day approaching, and brothers and sisters, it should be our absolute desire, if our heart is really in tune with being in that first company, with meeting the Lord in the air, we should desire the more and more to get together, to come hear the Word of God. And I believe that it is happening. I'm encouraged of that. I believe that the Lord has given us that increase of love. We needed it. God knows exactly what we don't need, when things need to be taken away, when things needed to be increased. But right now, brothers and sisters, it's the love of God that's pouring forth. And it's, lovest thou me more than these? Am I the total desire? Am I the affection of your life? You have been mine from the very beginning of time. Are you waking up to how much I love you? But see, this is the fellowship that it's talking about here. And it's what's so precious about fellowship, brothers and sisters. And I want us to really understand this. Love is never forced. You cannot force love. Love is something you do not naturally possess. You may think that you're a naturally sweet person, and God bless you if you are, and I think that's really nice. But this has to be of God. And God wants us to have it. And in this text, we're going to understand that God wants us to possess His love and live in His love and have His love overflowing in our lives. But there's a wonderful word here, and that word is let. It's huge. And you'll find these words all over the Word of God, let. We're going to find another one tonight, ought, should. It's all yielding. That's the choice, brothers and sisters. That's the difference between us and the animals. You know, my dog can't help but be a bad dog. If he had a better master, maybe he could be a good dog, but he's a bad dog. But he's still a dog. But see, we have a choice to yield. And God has given us, as children of the King, He's given us the very divine nature. He's given us His life. That's who we are. And that's who He wants us to be and to grow up into. But brothers and sisters, the choice of that life taking hold and control of our life is that wonderful word, let, and allowing God to do it. Understanding that we are His workmanship. Understanding fully that it's the grace of God. Sure, it's a choice, but it was the grace of God that even gave you that choice. It's the grace of God that draws you to Him. It's the grace of God that brings us to church tonight. It's the grace of God that has us looking and loving as a parent. It's the grace of God that causes us to love one another. It's all the grace of God, and that grace is His love and ability. And it's the only thing that can perform this is His love and His ability. And so sweetly, as he goes on in this verse, he reminds us of the story of Nicodemus, that you must be born again, that we are born of His Spirit, that we are born of His love. And it's all right here if we let it, because He has given us His very life. He's given us His life. That's why a lot of times I hear, and I've even heard myself, well, Lord, I don't know how. Well, sure, you don't know how, but that's why I gave you the very life that already can live that. By the grace of God, you have that Spirit. You have that Spirit that's willing. If we will yield to that, brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you something. God is able, as we were singing. Verse 8, He that loveth not, he that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. So see, we read love is of God, and God is love. And it's so wonderful, just that simplicity right there in believing that and understanding that. And understanding, as in Romans 8, it tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of God. You become secure in the love of God. You have to be secure in the love of God. And that's grace. And that's the only way you're ever going to grow, is understanding that nothing can separate you from the love of God. Even Brother Paul, I was at a conversation here not too long ago. So wonderful, even though he realized, oh, wretched man that I am. Praise the Lord, he still knew that nothing could separate him from the love of God. Isn't that wonderful? See, you have hope, and you can abound in that hope. And you have to understand that God has taken you this way. He's given you those insecurities. He's given you those, in a sense, if you want to say, these natural failure tendencies that you have. You have a different one than you do, and you have a different one than I do. We all have different thorns. We all have all of these different things that make us the people that we need to be in order to get needy before the Lord. Do you realize that, brothers and sisters? Do you realize that weakness that you have is for God's greatest strength to reign in your life? That has you here tonight? That has you calling out to God? He knows what you need. He knows what you need, and He knows what you need because He loves you. He loved you from the beginning of time. He saw that heart, and He set a path in front of you. He set a path in front of me, so unique, so divine, that by the grace of God, if I'll yield to Him, and I will go that way, and I'll allow Him to infill me with the very power of His might, I will be a full overcomer in Christ. Sure, there'll be times. Sure, there'll be things. But God is showing me through those times and those things that, you know what? My grace is sufficient. And I'm finding that out so sweetly. More and more that I can be still and know that He is God. This isn't my excuse to fail, brothers and sisters. It's my excuse to yield. It's my need to yield to Him. He is able. So able. Praise God for His ability. But it goes on here and it says, but he that loveth not, knoweth not God. Now, I have talked to more people than I ever want to imagine. Well, see, if you don't love, you could lose your salvation. And I mean that, just crazy talk. You know, they don't get down to the 15th verse where it says, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And I want to get right to the point with this, brothers and sisters. This, he that loveth not, knoweth not God, doesn't have anything to do with being born of God or the Spirit of God dwelling in them. But it has everything to do with yielding to God. Everything to do with that. What it means here, brothers and sisters, is you remember when we began this study and how many times God has brought us back to the word knowledge in this study. It's a precious word in this study. That knowledge is the knowledge between a husband and his wife. Do you want to know God like that? I don't believe we would be here. I don't believe you would be in this meeting for any length of time if your heart wasn't convicted to the point of, Lord, I do want to know you like that. I see what you're calling here. I understand that there's an intimacy. You know, the Song of Solomon wasn't for nothing. Huh? The whole Word of God wasn't for nothing. And you'll find it all throughout His wondrous Word, but so evident in the Philippians and Ephesians. Praise the Lord. And so many wonderful stories all the way back at the beginning of Genesis. How God and His wonderful Son looked out and said, you know, it's not good for man to live alone. Now, sure, fellas, in a sense, you can take that to heart and say, thank you, Lord. And I hope all of us would say, thank you, Lord. But that was for His Son, Jesus. Son, sure, there's going to be a family that we're going to have. We've set that plan out. But you're going to need a wife, too. And I'm searching for the true worshiper who worships me in spirit and in truth. And by the grace of God, this is what we have this evening. Is we have a calling, brothers and sisters, that we're here to worship Him in spirit and in truth. So here we have an intimate knowledge. We've read earlier in a couple chapters of this same study about the mature sons of God. That He doesn't want us to be the infants. He doesn't want us to be the little children. By the grace of God, He's encouraging these brothers and sisters here to grow up in Christ because Jesus is coming. And there's a warning to these infants here. This head knowledge, or a lot of people now have started to call the Word of God, you need the informational knowledge. Let me tell you something. I can't believe what people are calling the Word. It's information? This is the living Word of God. This is His life. This is our Christ. And He's given us this Word. And it's alive. Became flesh and dwelt among us. Praise the Lord that we have this. But I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters. You can have a head knowledge of the Word of God, and that's some good stuff. But that's not the way to God's best. It just isn't. And I'm telling you, you can know Scripture after Scripture after Scripture and still be an infant in the Lord. And I'm telling you the truth. And if it hurts your feelings, I'm going to leave that to the conviction of the Lord. It's how much you're living. It's how much has been written across my heart. We already read that wonderful verse over there in chapter 3:18. Let us not love in word, neither in tongue. But brothers and sisters, we're in a time that it's in deed and in truth. It has to be our manner of life. It's the evidence. It's the fruit. Does it come forth? It's not just practicing what you preach. Is it alive in you? Is it alive? Is it living? Is it your hope? Praise God it is. I'm looking for Jesus. And how I look for His appearing is by the grace of God I live unto Him every day. I'm starting to understand that wonderful verse of, Father, Thy will be done. If it be Thy will, sure I come to Him. If it be Thy will, I'm there every day. But God, I want to pray according to Your will. I want You to fill me with the desires of Your heart. I want You to give me Your desires in my heart. But all said and done, I'm beginning to understand, Thy will be done. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? That's when you just know. That's when you just finally get to the point where, Lord, Thou knowest, You've given me that rest, You've given me that peace, You give me the faith. Thank You, God, for that. But I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, He can do that. I want to become His work of grace. I want to become His masterpiece of grace. And that's this word living and abiding in me. And this is what He's after tonight. The masterwork of grace. How much are you going to let God do? How about everything? How about holding back nothing? You know, by the grace of God, we're going to study again about prayer. I'm so grateful to God. Told you I didn't have much time to study, but I sure had a lot of time to pray, and it's amazing what the Lord can give you when you pray. But I just, you know, it was just so wonderful. Everything by prayer. We know that. Now it's going to be, are you going to believe Him? Are you going to take that burden to the Lord and leave it there? Are you going to give it to Him? And then, my goodness, we're going to get to thankfulness and all of these different things. Can you be thankful in all things? I know you can. But are we living that? Oh, thanks be to God that we can live that. And Lord God, if I'm not, convict my heart and convict it quick. I want to be living the will of God. That's why I'm taking a breath by the grace of God, is to live His wondrous will. And that's a precious thing to even think about there. But verse 9 and 10. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So here we go. Jesus' work on the cross is our propitiation for our sins, and we know that it's all by the blood. Thanks be to God again, all throughout the Old Testament. The wonderful sacrifice, all of the blood that was sprinkled, whether it was on the mercy seat, whether it was put over the door, and I'll pass over you. Praise God. And then the wondrous moment when behold the Lamb come to shed that blood one time. Thank you, Jesus. And it is finished. The atonement made, accepted in the Beloved. Now let me tell you something. The Word of God is telling us. That's the love. That's the only love, and that's the forever love, because that's the love of God. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I have to share this with you. You know, I have a nephew that's very ill. And my brother, as I went out to see him this past week, is hurting so. I think it would be one of the greatest hurts that you could ever have. And the whole time, my brother could never take his hands off his son. And I mean that. I'm not exaggerating. When we'd go out to dinner, he had to be touching his son. When he was driving the car, if his son was sitting in the back, his hand was touching his son. Now, we can love like that. And praise the Lord that God can love us in us like that. But let me tell you something. It's going to take eternities to come to know what God gave us. Oh, we've just seen through a veil darkly. It's just through a glass. But praise the Lord. Someday it's going to be face to face. And it's going to be forever. He's going to show me. It's not going to be day after day, because it's going to be a day never going to end. But the eternities to come, how much He loves us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But see, brothers and sisters, if you don't see the love of God there upon that cross, you're never going to see it. You're never going to get it. If you don't realize how much God loved us when He gave us His Son, and His Son came to live, a horrendous death that He faced, becoming sin for us who knew no sin, God help you. If that doesn't cause your heart to want to live for Him, God help you. See, those are the things by the grace of God. This do in remembrance of me, saying right here upon that bench. You remember that. And you remember it daily. And I'm going to tell you something that'll cause your heart to say, thank you, Jesus. That'll cause your heart to say, I love you, Lord, because you love me so much. I love you, Lord, because you first loved me, not because I did anything. What a privilege. How thankful I am for the grace of God. Like I said, I was encouraged to pray for a young man and was almost haughty about allowing me to pray for him. And I said, hey, wait a second here. You're not doing me a favor. Nope. It's a privilege to have somebody pray for you. It's a privilege that you can pray. It's a privilege that you can even utter the name Jesus. And I'm so thankful that we can. Everything is in that name. Do you realize that? That we go to that name? Everything's in that name. It's the all-sufficient name. I'm so grateful to God that we know that. My dear sister said, thank you. I didn't know what else to tell her. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I know nothing else but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's getting to be that simple. And it's getting to be that wonderful. Praise you, God. But brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, there's going to be people out there, and we know them, that don't see this love. That don't see the love upon the cross. And I got to thinking how sad it is. Hell's a big place. Plenty of room. Plenty of room. And if that's not something somebody wants to do, unbelievers will wind right up there. But isn't it wonderful here in the verse 9 and 10 where it says that we are accepted, that He's given us His life, and how wonderful that we live through Him. That He is our strength, that He is our power, that He is our peace, that He is our victory, that He gave us His very life. Galatians 2:20. I hope that runs through your heart daily. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That's the life you got. That's who you are. That thing that keeps flopping around and flailing and doesn't want to believe, gets haughty, that's not who you are. Uh-uh. No, you're not. I just want you to wake up, and I'm trying to wake up more and more every day, waking up so much that I'm going to hear a first trumpet sound of who I really am. You got to believe. By the grace of God, without a vision, the people perish, brothers and sisters, and He's given us a mighty vision. But we've got this abundant life here. Most abundant life there could ever be, and we got it. And we got it because He first loved us. You're going to read that in verse 19. And I got to thinking it was just like that Shulamite. And how wonderful she loved being courted. Wasn't that just great? And she comes to the place, almost to the end, where she says, my beloved is mine. Isn't that wonderful? I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. And I just think that's so sweet. But you know what? There was even a higher reach. Praise God. God had to strip her completely of everything. I am my beloved's, and His desire is toward me. That's more. That's realizing that I love Him because He first loved me. One of the very first things that we learned in Sunday school. And I'm so thankful that I had a Sunday school teacher that taught me that. Jesus loves you, son. I don't know if it was the first class or the second, but I'm sure it was one of the two. But always remember this, you love Him because He first loved you. Isn't that wonderful? He just loved. I'm getting it, all of those dots connecting back to before the foundation of the world, He saw me. He saw you. Gave His life. God sent His Son. You were worth it. I know we're looking at one another and said, no way. But this is God we're talking about. And He loves us so. And His love makes me want to live. And His love makes me want to live for Him. His love gives me purpose. It gives me reason. It's not about how high or how much I'm going to achieve in the world. You know, how many people like me or don't like me. Matter of fact, I find out more and more, the more I fall in love with the Lord, the more people don't like me. But the more I fall in love with the Lord, the more love of those people that love the Lord love me. And I love them. And it's mighty. Oh, my goodness. He's taken me beyond a family, brothers and sisters. And I'm learning to settle down in marriage with my brothers and sisters. Yeah. See? I remember there's times I'd get fussy, but I'll blame it on my wife. She'd get fussy too sometimes. No, I'll just say it back on me when I'd get fussy. She'd still come in there and she'd sit right by me and she says, I don't care, you're my husband. And you're going to settle down. Because we're married. What do you think of that? Hmm? Does she have that right? You bet she does. Now we're talking forever, aren't we? I love you. I love you enough to tell you, brothers and sisters, tell myself too, we need to settle down in marriage. We need to be the people we are, who we've been called to be. The unity that God has called us to. That love, that oneness. I was so thrilled to hear Sister Michelle when she got up on Sunday night to tell about just the magnificence of the unity of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. The oneness that God has brought us to. Compacted, tightly fit. Yeah. So tightly fit that we even despair of our lives sometimes. Oh, but God knows. But see, it is about His love for you and me, brothers and sisters. And as we grow in the grace and knowledge of that love. That's what it is, growing in that grace of knowledge. You'll hear that first trumpet. You won't be stressed about it. See, we're going to get to, by the grace of God, at the end of this study tonight, perfect love casts out all fear. The fear of the coming of the Lord. All of that is gone. Because she knows she rests in His love for her. And it's so wonderful that it also says that the husband rests in her too. Isn't that wonderful? Do you see when we rest in the love of God and rest in the love of Christ for us? How magnificent that love is. And that's the greatest thing that we can give back to Jesus Christ is to say, Lord, I accept Your love. I just accept Your love. I'm not going to strive to get it anymore. I'm not going to wrestle with these things. I'm not going to try to show myself better than somebody else. I'm not going to try to call this out and say, well, that was awful wicked what you did. I just want to accept Your love and understand that that love's for you too. Absolutely. And it's not just confined to these walls either. God so loved the world that He gave His Son. Thank you, Lord. Verse 11. Beloved, there it is again. If God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. It's your privilege. It's your calling. And if you'll miss that, you'll miss God's best. You will. If you despise your brother or sister in Christ for anything, you'll miss it. Think of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as He was upon that cross and they were spitting upon Him, cursing Him, tearing at His beard. Can't even imagine all the awful things. And yet all He could say was, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Did He not tell us to have that kind of love? The love that turns the other cheek, all of those different things. This has nothing to do with standing for the Word of God, but this has everything to do with living and loving in the Word of God and with the Word of God and having it flow out of our lives, brothers and sisters. And not giving it an excuse to, well, I don't feel like doing that today. I'm so thankful Jesus Christ never did that to me. I'd have been in big trouble. That would have been the day I would have been completely crushed. But He never stops loving you. And He's asked to let that love dwell in us. So the question here in this ought is, are we going to yield to the will of God or not? Is His love going to rule and reign in our life? Is His love going to rule and reign in our life so that someday by grace you'll rule and reign with Him? Do you realize that? That's what's ruling and reigning. That's what that throne room is. That's what heaven is. That's what God is. God is love. God is love. And I'll assure you that His Son's bride will be that love. She will have that love. That will be the glory. That's her light. Praise the Lord. It's the love of God, the absolute wonderful Son of Jesus, so reigning in her life. And finally, brothers and sisters, when we do love one another, I'm going to tell you something. You'll end up the readied bride. Philadelphia, ring a bell? Brotherly love? Oh, it's just a coincidence, brother. It was a nice name that was the church that says is spared from the tribulation. No, it's not. They love without hypocrisy. They love without dissimulation. They just love one another. They can't help it. You just love. It causes you to be the person that you never knew. It causes you to be the people that are the mighty men of God. The Lord wrought the victory. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord wrought the victory. Greatest victories you'll ever face in your life is when a brother or sister in Christ disappoints you. Because the enemy wants you to hold that and to wear it out and to dwell on it. So you'll fall asleep. He wants you to go to bed with it. He wants you just to get all tangled up with it. Huh? Oh, what a weight it can be. God, You gave me these wings to soar, and yet I've tied myself up in the cares of the world. What do you think of that, huh? Oh, yes. And it better be every weight, brothers and sisters. Didn't say some. Didn't say all but one. It said every weight. And I'm going to tell you the greatest weights that I think are harboring a lot of God's precious people are the ones John's talking about right now. And that's the love of God. Not tolerating love. I'm not here to tolerate you. God help me if I did that. I'm here to love you. You're here to love me. Amen. I mean, that's it. And God help us, really. We need to be on our knees asking the Lord to encourage our heart into this. We're talking about winning Christ, brothers and sisters. There isn't anything greater. They think that they're back in Washington, you know, Pinky in the Brain or whatever that show was, you know, trying to figure out how they're going to take over the world or they're going to fix the world or what are all these things that they're going to do. That's nonsense. We're here to talk about winning Christ. We're here to rejoice that Jesus Christ, in His Word, is going to have a bride. And you and I am being offered this wondrous proposal. He wants to marry us. He does. Isn't that just incredible? I am. Every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. And that can be your husband. I mean, that's just amazing. I know I'm in the family. God help us to wake up to the place He wants us to take. What a wondrous God. What a loving Savior. Let's move along. 12 and 13. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. Now, I think it's kind of odd how, you know, we're talking about all this love and boom, here He puts this in. No man has seen God at any time. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? I love that. And I think there's many things to it, but the one that the Lord's put upon my heart is, but you know what? If we love one another, God's going to be seen dwelling in your life. You come into this church, I hope you do, with dove's eyes. You know what dove's eyes see? Other doves. Other dove's eyes. You see Christ. It's like, oh, brother here, I appreciate it. He's writing down all the people's names and everything. He couldn't write them down fast enough. And there was this one sister that was so special to him. He said, oh, don't know her name, but, you know, I'm just going to put Jesus, lady. Because it just shining that wonderful life of Christ so much. Can't say anything else. Well, I hope by the grace of God that we all can be the people of Jesus that way, that we're shining forth that light, that we are so Christ-like, that praise be to God, we're like Him. We've grown into that image of Him. Hallelujah. That as the Word says, Jesus Christ said, He who has seen me has seen the Father. Oh, what the grace of God can do, brothers and sisters. You can be a mighty light. What do you think? I see some heads starting to go down. You didn't know how mad I got at work today. Didn't act anything like Jesus today. It's not acting like anything. Remember, it's being. It's just being. Being who you are. Being the life that He's given you. When are we going to believe this? I mean, really fully believe it. I think it's about time. Really, what He's given us, His very life. My goodness. It's starting to come real. God, help me to not be that royalty that just likes to roll around out there in the mud. I've got a throne room over there that He said, come boldly and dwell in here, son. And that's who we are. And that's why, by the grace of God, we love and respect one another. Because of Christ in you and Christ in me. That's what it is, brothers and sisters. And this is that wonderful dwelling that He's talking about here. This is the intimate fellowship with the will of God. The fellowship of oneness. The intimate knowledge of a man and a wife growing up from glory to glory into the very image, the very perfection, as it says here. And this word perfection, it means complete and fully developed. And it's only the love of God alive and working in our lives, and that's the grace of God that's ever going to perform that. And it'll perform the ready bridal saint. And I thank God even in this verse as well too. I can't tell you how I thank God. This isn't a maybe. This isn't something that's unclear. This isn't something that's unattainable. You know. You know this. And you can sit here and you can tell me, well, brother, I really don't know this. Yes, you do. Look what the Word of God says. He's given you His Spirit. And we know it because of that. Because that wonderful dwelling in Him and He in us. Because He hath given us His Spirit. And I just think it's our old nature. Just trying to make excuses. Trying to argue ourselves out of who we really are. Oh, but I just like to go sit over here in self-condemnation. That makes me feel really good. See, look at this. I'm being humble. Oh, God, I'm so bad. Blah, blah, blah. Knock it off. And I mean it. I get tired of hearing that. I'm thankful to God when you become broken before Him. He wants us to be that. Amen. But you got to start recognizing that you are also the curtains of Solomon, brothers and sisters. And that's the life, by the grace of God, you need to start living. What do you think? Huh? His wife hath made herself ready. My wife does not walk around the home sheepishly thinking, can I get in here? Can I do this? Let me tell you something. She's a bold woman. And He's going to have a bold wife. Because she comes boldly into the throne all the time. She dwells there. She loves to dwell with Him there. Well, you know what? I made a mistake. It was so sweet. She even said that today. And I knew she kind of felt badly. I had these different credit cards. I used the wrong credit card. Didn't matter. She knew I still loved her. I was a little irritated. But you know what? Not really. But I remember there were days I was. Why did you do that? Remember here, Brother Hill saying, why'd you put the salt in the pie? Oh, amen. But see, we come in there boldly. We're accepted. By the grace of God, she does. She's reigning in that love right now. She's not walking around. It's not a cocky walk. I hope you understand that. It's thankful. And the best marriages I've ever seen in my life were two people that were thankful and grateful to have the other. That was it. It wasn't, oh, you're blessed to have me. Oh, no, 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 no. Uh-uh. I'm thankful to God I have you. And the other one says, I'm thankful to God I have you. You know, someday I think we'll join the hands of the Lord if by His grace we attain that. And we just say into one another, look into the eyes and say, I'm thankful to have you. And He looks back at you and He says, I'm thankful to have you. It's going to be mutual. It's going to be like that, brothers and sisters. But it's going to be this love of God that's ever going to get us there. And what a moment it's going to be. Going on, verse 14. We'll move. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. My goodness, what He sent Him for. This goes back to the very first verse we read. As we started 1 John, where it says He handled Him. Remember John said, I touched Him, I handled Him. I looked into His face, I saw Him. I'm here to testify of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's real. Thank God I don't even need that testimony. I just need to believe His Word. I didn't have to touch Him that way. He touched my heart and I believe Him. And praise God, He is the Word and He is the Savior of the world. Verse 15, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. My goodness, I love the simplicity. I love the minute faith, the size of a mustard seed. It's not a very hard test, is it? Lord, I believe you. I believe you're the Son of God. Welcome to my family. Isn't that precious? And that's how simple it is. People want to make this so complicated. My goodness. But brothers and sisters, I want to make sure in this verse 15 you understand it. This dwelling, though, in verse 15 is not talking about the intimate fellowship. This isn't talking about the mature son's choice. This is rather the forever abiding salvation that enters in our life the very moment that we believe in Him, the moment that we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. See, to be a Christian, one must simply believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We are children through His blood. Isn't that wonderful? But never forget, He's the only begotten Son of God. See? Don't ever, ever forget the uniqueness of Jesus Christ. Verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Now, this is John's testimony, and I'm telling you, it's getting completely in the love of God. It's wonderful. Every moment, every breath, he can't even pen anything here in the Holy Spirit without just rejoicing in the love of God. It's just pouring forth. He's excited about this. He knows that the Lord is dealing with him so. And the Holy Spirit here is separating this even more clearly, brothers and sisters. God dwells forever in a Christian. You know that? Amen? Amen. If you're a Christian, does God dwell in you forever? Yes. And never leaves. He dwells there forever. But the love of God dwelling, we have something different now. And this is what he's talking about, is a communion here. It's a choice. It's a fellowship. We're back to that word ought. We're back to the word let. It's yielding. And how many times over and over, how many ways, even in this short little study of John, does God come to us through the Holy Spirit and he's dealing with us? Are you going to yield to me? Are you going to yield to this love? Are you going to let it work effectually? Are you going to stop being up and down so much? Are we going to get consistent in the love of God? Hell yeah. The best spouses are the consistent spouses. Couldn't imagine waking up every morning and wondering what I got today. Come on now. Amen? Oh boy. Whew. Lost some of the crowd there. God help us. God help us. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. A readied wife is the one that always loves. She's ready to love. She's ready to give of herself. She's surrendered. I'm not going to fight it. This isn't about me. It's about love. What do you think? Is that how you get through? I hope it is, because that's the only way you're going to get through. It's the only way you're ever going to get through this life. You're marked. You're His. It's going to be love. You can try to do it any other way you can. And until you finally surrender and say, It's about you, Jesus, and it's about your love in me. You're just going to be hitting your head right against that brick wall. It's time. It's time to live. And it's time to live abundantly. I praise God for it. He's dealing with my heart. The freedom that I have. Praise God. More things being taken away from me than I've ever had in a sense naturally in this life. And I'm getting more and more excited. The wings are starting to come alive upon my back. I'm not going to be tethered here much longer. Ready to take flight. Praise God. It's coming. It really is coming. Okay, verse 17 and 18, and we'll close it up with that. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, or the day of the Lord, as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. And it does. You know it. We all know that. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So here it is. The answer to it all. Here is how our love is made perfect. Think of all the things that God has already let us read tonight and to meditate on. Love God. Love God. Understand you love God because He first loved you. That's where it begins. And in that, you love one another. And in that, take it further. Let's settle down. Let's dwell together. Settling down in marriage. Remember that wonderful word dwell back there in the Psalms. Moving in one accord. Word of God even goes on to say with one voice. Unity of the Spirit. I couldn't help but think of that cherubim. Isn't that wonderful? Man, it was incredible. Their wings were joined. Every one of them went straight forward. Whither the Spirit was to go, they went. Their agenda was one thing, the Word of God. That's it. They followed the Spirit only. That's what they were attentive to. They tended upon the things of the Lord without distraction. They weren't thinking about all of the other things of the world, the benefit of this, and let's get into this cause and this political here and all of these things, and brothers and sisters, that will get you right off the track to win God's best so fast. Your head will spin. And that's what's going on with a lot of Christianity today. They're caught up with good and they're passing up God's best. And all that good eventually gets to be is wood, hay, and stubble. And I want to be about the gold and silver and the precious stone. The Martha's a wonderful thing. And we all need to have that type of a spirit in our life too. We need to love one another. Look upon our brother's need just like it said here. But it's the worshiper at the feet of Jesus that has chosen the best part. Know it. Oh, what God has brought you to. I'm looking at people that believe this. The aristocracy, as Brother Hill used to say, of the universe. Can you imagine this sermon going out of these walls? I wish people would believe it, but as you talk to people about this, they just think you're absolutely nuts. Truly, we are crazy for the Lord. Hallelujah. But here it is, brothers and sisters. The reason that this is so important is because Jesus is coming. John's telling it here. He said it how many different times? Be ready for the coming of the Lord. That we're not ashamed when the Lord comes. That we're ready. That we're looking for Him. Because Jesus is going to have a bride. And the perfected love saints are going to be His readied wife. And she will be bold in the day of the Lord. She's going to be bold. She's going to be so bold, I believe, that we had a wonderful brother in Christ that was the epitome of that boldness. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I have fought a good fight. I am ready to be offered. I'm ready to be offered as your wife. And that's the same calling by the grace of God that the Lord is encouraging us to have, is that boldness. She is bold. And the reason that she can say that is because the Lord, His Spirit, it says it right here, because as He is, so are we in the world. Jesus Christ in His entire life, it's so wonderful, He lived it, epitome of it. Father, Thy will be done. And that's her heart. She's come to the point, Lord, Thy will be done. I'm willing to go alone. I'm willing to leave my family. I'm willing to leave the ones that have been so, in a sense, dear or close to me. But now I'm understanding, Lord, if I'm not willing to leave them, I'm not worthy. God is calling us that way, brothers and sisters. And we are going to be separated to Him, but it says, come unto Him first. You come unto Him first. But it's going to happen. And it's going to hurt. But I'm going to tell you something at the end. It's going to hurt so good. Because you're going to win Him. Oh my goodness. Lord, let it hurt so good. Let me tell you something, ladies. As you know about childbirth, it wasn't very pleasant while you were going through it. But you do it again and again. I know you would. Praise the Lord. But that's the cry upon her heart. Now think of this. The Spirit gave our Lord strength. And at the same time, He's given us that same Spirit, the same power of His might that we can live as well too. The joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. How about the joy that's set before you today? Is that why you're enduring hardness as a good soldier? Are we really coming to the point that this is just a light affliction that's but for a moment? Oh my goodness, there's some things are coming. He's turning up the heat. Those last final touches can be the most painful. But He's about to appear. And she has no fear in His appearing, does she? She has no torment about the end times. I think about how many people are so tormented about this day and age. They're looking out around. I'm talking about Christian folks. They're afraid. Fearful. Perfect love casts it out. There's no fear in love. There is no fear. God will provide, brothers and sisters. He took them out of Egypt. They didn't have a thing. They didn't even need clothes for 40 years. Absolutely. And He's the same God. And I'm telling you, God give us great faith. But she knows, brothers and sisters, when these things come to pass, she says, look up, our redemption draweth nigh. And sure, this perfect love, it applies in everything in our life. I'll close with this. It really is the greatest barometer in our life if we're trusting God. Are you anxious about something? Are you fearful? Then you're not trusting God. You're not. It's that simple. You don't have the perfect love. God wants us to have that. Brothers and sisters, I'm preaching that to myself as much to you. We're in need of God's perfect love all the time. He wants us to have that. And I know at this time there's a great test going on because He is finishing us. But whether it's in our bodies in a healing, whether it's in our finances that we need monies to live. And I know that it's coming a time, not money just to afford the size of home I live in, but to live in a home. How about food and raiment therewith to be content? I don't know what God's going to do. But I know one thing. He's getting ready a people for His namesake. And they love His appearing. And they love the appearance of the Lord in one another. Think about that. They love His appearing, and they love the appearance of the Lord in one another. They do. They love Christ in me, the hope of glory, and they love Christ in you, the hope of glory. Because she's one that's in love with His body, just as she is in love with the head. She's going to marry the whole thing. Amen? Now, we know that only God could get that done. How about you? Amen? But is His grace sufficient? Oh, yes. And He does want us to win Him. Let's stand and be dismissed.